Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be with you and to jump into the Word of God with you. I'm especially fond of this section of Scripture. When Andrew asked me if I'd like to speak, I said, of course, I'll take any advantage of any opportunity to dive into the Word of God. It reminds me of my time in Bible school when I was able to teach. Some of you went through the book of 1 John with us just several weeks ago, and so you'll maybe hear some of the same things, no doubt. But when David mentioned to me, he asked me, did I know what I would speak on? I had already been thinking that, you know what, everything that Pastor David talks about with regard to what's true about us and the way that he encourages us to live as children of God and walk in the truth of what God has revealed, it's all about fellowship. And so today what I'd like to do is just talk about this fellowship that it may be mysterious in a way, because it involves an invisible God, but it also involves a real walk, a day-to-day walk in our world that we experience and he's offered to us. When I say fellowship is the key, what exactly do I mean? Well, a key has a couple of meanings. Obviously, it's used to open a door, isn't it? And then it can also mean the main thing. And so I feel like it has that, carries both those meanings. And I'll unfold that as I get into the message. But before we do jump into the scriptures, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. A beautiful day, a church building, freedom to meet and open your word and really hear from you. And so I pray we would. I pray your spirit would take your word today and just remind us of good things. We're incredibly privileged to know you, and you did what was necessary for us to enter into that relationship, Lord. You sent your son to die on behalf of us for our sins, and he was raised to newness of life after he died for our sins. He was raised from the dead. Now he offers us eternal life and forgiveness of sins when we, by faith, accept him, when we trust in his payment. We become children of yours. And now you've given us the Holy Spirit, so we ask that he would give us understanding about this truth that you offer to us, this ability to walk with you and enjoy you, enjoy your presence. To that end, Lord, I pray and commit this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't turned to 1 John, please do. Fellowship is something that I have come to believe is of utmost importance in the Christian life. Just to set a little bit of the context that Anne read, John, and he says we, so it's John and the apostolic circle, those around him that believe the same thing, that are children of a God. And of course, John is especially qualified to write about this fellowship, this closeness, because he spent 3 years with Jesus. And he leaned upon Jesus when at the upper room dinner. And he is described as the one Jesus loved. And you know he loved all of them, but there must have been something special. So when he writes about fellowship, I think he does it from a unique perspective. So he opens this letter, and you'll see sprinkled throughout the letter if you read it, he's writing to believers, those that are children of God, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. But he says, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. And of course, that which he's seen and heard, he already described it. That which they've seen, looked upon, handled, and heard, that's Jesus. The life was manifested, he says in verse 2. We've seen it and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and it was manifested to us. It was made evident to us. It was right before our very eyes. And it had a lasting impact. So he sets the stage for this book right up front. And he says, we declare this to you so that you may have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. And these things we write so that your joy may be full. That is just packed. Since John is writing about it, perhaps it's something we should have an understanding of. He used it four times in three verses in 1 John 1. And as I said, he's in a unique position to write about it. So I'd like to look at three things today related to fellowship. First of all, fellowship defined, and that's what fellowship really means. And then secondly, fellowship's condition, or how to maintain fellowship. And then thirdly, fellowship's result. In other words, what's the outcome of walking in fellowship? So first point, fellowship defined. John uses the Greek word koinonia here. It's used 20 times in the New Testament, and it's translated fellowship 12 times. It's translated communion 4 times. So you see it refers to this closeness. Oftentimes, what comes to mind when we hear the word fellowship is what? An event here at church, right? It involves food, and it involves fun, and fellowship. And that, in a sense, is accurate. But I'd like to look more closely at it, how it's used in the scriptures. So in verse 3, we see that we can have fellowship with them. John, he's writing, so they have things in common. That's the concept here. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So this is a neat connection because of what he says there. He writes, so that their joy may be full or complete. It's a neat connection with John's record of the upper room discourse in John chapter 15. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you about, and he's talking about abiding, about a close relationship. It's very related to fellowship. But these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It sounds a bit connected, this idea of abiding, this idea of fellowship, this idea of joy. And then in 1 John 1:7, he says, if we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's God in an individual, and that's clear from the context of verse 6. This is talking about God having fellowship with the believer having fellowship with God. Now, does this sound like an invitation to a church event? Not exactly. So it must mean more than that. Strong's Concordance uses the following words to help understand the word koinonia, the Greek word koinonia. Association, a partnership, joint participation. And that the definition that I've come to use and love when I teach through 1 John, as some of you might remember, is joint participation with someone in things held in common by both. So joint participation with someone else in things held in common by both. This joint participation includes a special closeness or an intimacy that's not available when you don't have these things in common. So an everyday example might be an orchestra. If you think about an orchestra, you have different members of the orchestra that play different instruments, each with its own part. A conductor leading the group, instructions before them, and when everyone does what they know to do, the result is absolutely, or can be, usually it's absolutely amazing. It's breathtaking often, beautiful. Oftentimes it'll result in a standing ovation. The audience is so moved that by joy, they're overcome. The participants are filled with joy and a sense of accomplishment and completeness. The conductor could not be more pleased. They have jointly participated in what they have been having in common, practicing and now performing the music. What they have in common has produced something beyond them individually. They're musicians and have come together to be what they have become. And by being what they've become, the result is out of this world, really. It's such abstract results. It's so very emotional and moving. It's almost spiritual. Now, I don't know if you made any connection at all as I was describing an orchestra and the individual participation of its members, but you know, in a sense, that describes the body of Christ and how we can participate together in divine things, and the things that God has put before us. We're members of a body. We've each been given gifts, and they're designed so we can function together, use our gifts to edify the body, and that's us. Or you might go visit another body and all of a sudden find yourself interacting with someone and exercising your gift, and you don't even realize it. But the result is beautiful. You've experienced moments of that where there's a connection. Well, how does this relate to John's word of the use of the word fellowship? Joint participation with someone else in things held in common by both. What did the readers have in common with John and the apostles? Well, he mentions it, God and Jesus, the Son of God, but there's more, the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ, the truth of the word of God established in our hearts, gifts that the Spirit of God had given them. They were family now, brothers and sisters in Christ, participating in things of the family. There's a father now, and we're walking together as children. And you know that in a relationship where there's a good relationship between a father and a child, there's fellowship, there's enjoyment. And with God as our Father, this what he offers us is far beyond what we can have with our physical father. A special closeness. And God has invited us to live in this new realm, in this new reality. And I'm making application to us because John was writing to a group in Asia Minor of believers. And of course, by extension, we're in the family of God. We are believers. So this directly applies to children of God. Were they perfect? No, far from it. There were many exhortations through 1 John and the epistles about how to walk and how to live individually and as the body of Christ now that they were children of God. In order to enjoy this new life, this God's life in them and us. Isn't that incredible to think that God lives in us? He's given us his eternal life. And it's there right now, right where we're seated. And it's not just there as a ticket to heaven. You know, we pull it out when we die and say, okay, here's my ticket. No. There's far more to it than that. And guess what? Fellowship is the key, if I could say. It's one of the main things in order to enter into this relationship now and enjoy him today. There are also warnings throughout this book and the other epistles about what can interrupt our fellowship. All the things that Paul writes about, or James, or John, or Peter, or the writer of Hebrews, the warnings are designed so that we stay away from what interrupts fellowship. So in verse 7, he goes on, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's again clear from verse 6, the context is about an individual having fellowship with God himself. What would the readers have in common with God? What do we have in common with God that we can jointly participate? Well, Jesus Christ is like the main thing. We are in him who is true. He is in us. He is the word of God. He is our food. When we read these words, it's more than just words on a page. It's our spiritual food. It's what we grow by as we not just read it and think, oh, that's nice, but no, we read it and we believe it. We think, oh, that's true about me? Well, then, by all means, that's what Pastor David's always telling us. Walk in who you are. Walk in the truth of who God made you. And some things that we'll talk about in a minute. We have the Spirit of God in common, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our power, the one who gave us our spiritual birth. He imparted life to us. He planted in us the life of God, the nature of God. He's made us alive to God so that we can interact with him and enjoy him. We also have in common the work he's doing. He's working all around us all the time in one way or another. Henry Blackaby wrote a lesson book a long time ago, Experiencing God. And in it, he encouraged us to be looking always, all around us, at ways God is working, and then just join him in that work. We have light in common, truth, righteousness, his life, again, eternal life. Because we have these things in common, we can participate with God, and he can participate with us as we walk in fellowship. 2 Peter 1:3. Is there a slide for 2 Peter 1:3? Okay. Check this out. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and virtue, or excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That word, having become partakers of the divine nature. The word is koinonos. Guess what? Very related to koinonia. Partakers, participants. The same root meaning. We can be partakers of the divine nature. Eternal life, in essence. We can participate with God's life in us. Now, this is a special closeness again. Partaking of this of God himself. I know this sounds ethereal and very hard to grasp, and it is. It's not something that you can explain to someone. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to explain it to you, and I'm like, I can't explain this to you. But I know that as we believe this, as we walk in truth, that we will experience it, and then we'll know it experientially. And if we participate with God and experience it, and guess what? We also experience it with other believers as we meet together and we share in the divine nature together. And that's something that is experienced as well. And you've experienced it as you've met here with people and you've served and ministered to people, or perhaps someone has served and ministered to you. And it's something that's, when it happens, it's like, man, I wish this would last longer than this moment. But then that's what life is about. It's one moment after another, where we are meeting with God and experiencing God together. Now, sometimes it does end up lasting forever, because this special closeness that you experience with someone else, it leads to marriage. And that's another sense of the word fellowship. Now, is this fellowship automatic? Are we always in fellowship? As we can see from 1 John 1:6, it's not automatic. Because 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We see a contrast in this verse and the next between darkness and light. If you would, on the board in the classroom, I wrote two circles, but I don't have a blackboard. So imagine there's a portal right here, and this portal leads somewhere. Now, this portal is just black. It's so dark, you can't see a thing in it. And if you enter it, guess what? You don't know where you're going. You don't know what the result's going to be. But over here, we have this portal, and it's brilliant, and it's light. And it's glowing. It's glorious. And over here, this leads to life. What does this lead to? Is there any life over here? No. This is death. This is separation from life, which is what death is. In the Bible, it's in its essence, it's separation. And it's separation from God. So this contrast between darkness and light is right here in these verses. If we say we're over here and yet walk in darkness, and this is basically sin. This is sin. And when we say we have fellowship with God, which is the result of walking in light, we lie and we don't have fellowship. We're not doing the truth. This is where truth is found, in righteousness, in purity, and light, and life. And this is just the opposite. Everything that's opposite of here is found here. And this is where we, you know what, when we trusted in Christ, we moved from being in darkness to now we're in light. We have life. And the cross was the way from darkness to life, to enter into life. And now we're children of God. And Pastor David again has been describing to us what's true about living in this realm. And this is where he's exhorting us always to believe what God says and to walk in the truth of it. And by doing that, we have fellowship. But if we know of sin in our lives and it's not confessed, we end up over here. And this is not lost, because in a believer's life, there's darkness and sin. We're not condemned. Before we were Christians, this led to second death, eternal separation from God. Trusting in Christ delivered us from this, from eternal separation from God to eternal life with God, and now we live here. And yet in the believer's life, there is this, we can choose to go back and do things that are associated with darkness, or we can choose to associate ourselves and live by faith in light and purity. And this is where fellowship is found. Joint participation with God is always found over here. This brings us to the second point, fellowship's condition. What's required to have fellowship with God? It's to walk in light. And what is light? Well, 1 John 1:5 tells us God is light, and in him is no darkness. John 1:4 says, in him, that's in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Now, light is hard to define exactly. If you're a physicist, you probably have a pretty good definition of light. It's rays, it's particles. I don't know how to define light, except to tell you, turn on the light, turn on the switch, and we'll have light. But what is light? It's almost easier to define what it does. Something that illuminates, it helps us see, it reveals what's around us. It really sets us free to live, doesn't it? How free are you to run around in darkness? Are you comfortable running around in darkness? Living in, I'm not talking complete darkness. Or you flip on a light and all of a sudden, oh, I see, and now I can run around. Walking in light is walking in what God has illuminated as truth. He helps us see. He reveals what's around us. And not just in the, we don't need him to see physically, but we need him to see spiritually. The invisible world. These things that are true about us. Walking in light. Believing the truth of the reality of the invisible realm that God has revealed. Believing truth that we learn from God's word. Who he is. Who we are. What God wants us to know. How God describes life as it should be for a child of God. When we walk in this new reality that we find revealed in God's word, it's also known as living by faith. You'll see that term, that phrase used in Scripture. Living by faith or walking by faith, we find that we can jointly participate with God in things he wants us to do in us and through us toward those around us. Walking with God, it's not, we read it and we wonder, okay, Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. What is it? It's living with him in mind, daily, moment by moment, as our Father who loves us with an everlasting, unconditional love, enjoying him, talking with him, experiencing him in his power as we believe what he said and follow his instructions about how children of God in fellowship should live and respond to circumstances we encounter every day. It's free to be who we are. Isn't that interesting, free to be who we are. Again, Pastor David is always emphasizing who we are. Who in the morning, you get up. Somebody said this a long time ago. You look in the mirror. Who is it you're dressing? Who is it you're getting ready? A child of God. who's been delivered from the penalty of sin. He's who's free from the power of sin. It's a good thing to remind myself of every single morning, because it sets the stage for, oh, that's right. And if I think I got it, you know, and I'm not, I don't have this problem, I'm deceived. Because even Peter said, hey, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to write and remind you of these things so that you can walk as a child of God. And Peter's fortunate because, you know what, his word's still around. We can read it. And he's still reminding us of these things. Now, as an example, the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3, tell us a number of things about us that are true. We are in Christ. I'm going to read just a list, and you've heard Pastor David preach on many of these things. We're in Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And I don't want, because I'm saying we, I'd rather you say I. As I'm reading this, you say I, not out loud. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, accepted by God, adopted by God, redeemed. That's bought out of the slave market of sin. Sins forgiven, sealed with the Holy Spirit, who made our dead spirits alive to God. We are his workmanship, created for good works, Owen. This is, by the way, I say that because he and I have been talking, and he's just consumed with this passage right now. Brought near to God by the blood of Christ, we have peace with God, access to God. Christ dwells in us, abides in us. Each of these things takes time to prove, in a sense, takes experience in life to see the truth of it as we go through situations and challenges, interactions with people in all kinds of ways. Since all of this is true, as we believe it, we see, we understand. This is where God gives understanding. The Spirit of God teaches our spirit. He convinces our spirit these things are true. This is light. The challenge before us on a daily basis or moment by moment is to believe it or not. That's the question. Do I walk in and reveal the character of the one who I am now as a child of God? Or do I act out of character and I go back to this realm that leads to separation from enjoyment of this beautiful life that God is offering and wooing us into? His spirit is always saying, come on, come on. No matter what we've done, his love never, never is reduced by anything we've done. It's always, come on, come on back. I know. But he's faithful. So 4-6, what it looks like to live out those truths, Ephesians 4-6, walking in light. Walk worthy of being a child of God, as described above. As believers and followers of Christ in fellowship, we are humble, loving one another, keeping the unity of the Spirit, living in peace with one another, speaking truth in love, being faithful to one another. We don't walk or live according to the sinful nature and its desires. Rather, we walk and live according to who we are now, according to the new nature, which is empowered by God's Spirit. We're honest with God and with each other. We don't lie. We don't steal. We give. Our speech edifies others. It does not tear down others. We're kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Much more, but you get the idea. That's who we are walking in fellowship. These things are evident in the life of a believer who is enjoying God and walking with him. Paul summed it up in Philippians 4:9. He says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice or do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the God of peace with us is in a special way. It's in fellowship. A friend a long time ago, when he first started discipling, he summed up Philippians 4:9, just do what you know. We all have different light levels. We're all in different stages of growth. And we need to be gracious with one another. But really, to walk in fellowship, we just need to do what we know. And stay hungry. Keep reading. Keep believing. Let God grow us in his timing. He told the Israelites in Psalm 81:10, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Think about that. God wants us to know more about him. open our mouth, be hungry. He said, he could say to us, hey, I'm God, the one who brought you out of sin. Just want me, and I'll give you more of me. More realization of me. We can't have more of God. We get him. We got complete the Holy Spirit when we became Christians. Doing what we know, living according to how we know God wants us to live, has good results. John 15, 4 and 5, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This idea of abiding is the same thing, remaining, getting life from, jointly participating in the life of the vine, a vessel of life, allowing God to move and have his way in our being. Now, do we always do this? I don't. Do we always abide? Do we always walk in this truth? I don't. I don't, and probably you don't either. But we're in good company. Paul didn't either. John didn't either. John, he describes what to do in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sin, in other words, when we fail, and we will, he is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin. If we confess the sin that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, we don't have to worry about sin that we're not aware of. We don't have to go to bed at night and confess, well, I know I didn't do what I should have, or I know I failed in this area or that, and I've just, no, that's not, God doesn't want us walking around worrying about whether or not we sinned. His Spirit is faithful to put a, he's like a cat on a screen door. You know, it's hard to get him off if he's pointing out something that's sin. And the way to get him off of that is just to agree with God. That's the essence of confession. Agreement with God. It's not surprise, doesn't surprise him, but just admitting to him that what I did was wrong. It doesn't lead to enjoyment of life. It's found over here. It's not found over here. And that's the essence of agreeing with God is, okay, get me back over here, back in the light. Good news, failing is not the end of enjoyment of God. It gets us, confession gets us back in the light and freedom again to be who we are. Finally, fellowship's result, its outcome, its product. Jesus mentioned it in John chapter 15. If we abide, he'll produce the vine, the life of the vine produces fruit, much fruit. Paul talks about it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Each of these deserves a sermon in itself, but today I just want to focus on joy. We saw it early, mentioned earlier by John in verse 3 or 4. David knew a bit about walking honestly before God and the result. He describes it in Psalm 16:11. We read it this morning. You make known to me the path of life. David knew God and what led to enjoyment of life with him. He said, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's what fellowship does. It keeps us in the presence of God and in the condition of enjoying God. And there's fullness of joy. And I like this definition of joy that I heard some time ago. Joy is peace dancing. Peace is joy at rest. But yes, in the presence of God, how could there be anything other than joy? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about being in the presence of God, I almost sometimes fear. But I think God's going to wipe away that fear. And, I mean, there's a reverence. There's an awesome respect and reverence to God. But I think his love and who he is going to just cause our hearts to just overflow with joy in his presence. Fellowship is living in the presence of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is really the characteristics of the life of God revealed. Love himself. Fruit is produced by the Spirit of God in us and through us in good times and in tough times, uncertain times, especially in uncertain times. We need him and we find him. faithful, loving, merciful, powerful. Fruit brings glory to God and joy to those through whom he produces it and those benefiting from it. Well, hopefully you've seen why John is focusing on fellowship right up front, because he wants the readers, the hearers, and believers to know what it is to walk in fellowship. It's so important. It's the key to the Christian life. It opens the door to abundant life, and I believe it's the main thing in living the Christian life. In fact, I think it's the most important thing. I think everything else that has any value for eternity, evangelism, discipleship, service, ministry, springs out of being in fellowship with God and the result of us walking with God in truth and light. As we do, his work and fruit are natural results of one walking by faith. If I could sum it up in 3 points, I would say faith leads to fellowship, and fellowship leads to fruit. And that might be the name of the next sermon that I do, if I'm invited back. Let's pray. Father, we're just grateful to know you and read these things that are true about us and true about you. And Lord, we face the challenge every day of whether or not to believe them. Father, just help us in our unbelief so that we can bring you honor and glory as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.